In the tafsir, in a commentary, it has been stated that on the day of Qiyamah, in the plain of Hashr, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an announcement will come, and everyone on the plain of Hashr will hear this. And as we know, the conditions on the day of Hashr, we read, we listen to the verses of the Qur'an. And on such an event from Allah Ta'ala, an announcement will come, a loud announcement. And it will be said that where are those people who in the dunya used to say this? Subhanaka waqina adhab an-nar. So when this announcement will be made from Allah Ta'ala, then on the plain of Hashr, subhanallah, those people who in the world, in the dunya, walking, standing, sitting, always would do the dhikr of Allah, that jamaat will stand. Those people will stand. And all of the people on the plain of Hashr will see that, who are these people? Subhanaka waqina adhab an-nar. Allah Ta'ala's announcement, upon this announcement, the people, the dhakireen, who used to remember Allah, will stand. And all the people on the plain of Hashr on the day of judgment will see and look at the dhakireen, those who did the dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, Ta'ala will be given good treatment to them on such a day. So, those people will stand, the dhakireen, those who do the dhikr of Allah, they will stand and say, Allah, it was us who in the dunya, in the world, we used to do this action and we used to say this. Subhanaka waqina adhab an-nar. We used to do your dhikr, and alongside that we used to remember you. And as we were remembering you and doing your dhikr, inside, at the same time, in parallel, our yaqeen, our certainty was so high on your words, on your statements, that we then used to ask from you one thing. That Allah, please have grace and mercy on us and protect us and save us from the fire of Jahannam, hellfire. So here the Mufassireen have written that the people who do the dhikr of Allah, who remember Allah, in reality, in the dunya, whatever they ask for from Allah, what they ask for first and foremost is protection from hellfire. The reason for this is that Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the true dhakir, who does the dhikr of Allah, his quality is this, a proper quality. That from the dhikr of Allah inside him, such awareness is created that he has the strength and power to avoid sin. And this is the sign of dhikr of Allah. That a person starts to try to take refuge from sin, protect himself or herself from sin, and save himself from sin. And the sign of the acceptance of dhikr is that a person then he avoids the sins. That very few sins will be visible in his life. If you want to see if your dhikr is correct, accepted in the eyes of Allah, or alhamdulillah, that are you getting the rewards of dhikr that you will get in the hereafter for dhikr, then the sign of that in this world is that close to Allah, whoever's dhikr is accepted in the eyes of Allah, whoever's dhikr is accepted, then those people are very extremely cautious and very careful in going even near to sin. They don't want to commit any sins. Their whole life becomes a life of caution and being careful and treading carefully. So when this emotion is created in parallel with you doing dhikr, then consider that your dhikr has been accepted in the court of Allah. The rest of the signs people look for, oh, I do dhikr, I feel like this and I feel good. This is not acceptance of dhikr. Acceptance of your remembrance of Allah, and this is what we realize is the sign of acceptance, that by doing the dhikr of Allah, by remembering Allah, on the day of judgment we will realize, subhanaka waqina adhab an-nar, that those who did the dhikr of Allah, the objective of their life and the akhirah was one, that we don't want to earn Allah's displeasure. We don't want to earn Allah's wrath. We don't want to earn Allah's anger. And Allah Ta'ala's disobedience, may Allah save us from His disobedience. Because this is the crux here. It's very difficult for a person to be saved from sin, to save himself or herself from sin. It's easy to do ibadah, worship, but to leave the sins is difficult, very difficult. So for this ibadah, dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, this is very useful as a tool to ward off the sins, to ward off the sins. If a person doesn't want to disobey Allah, if he wants to be saved from the hellfire, be saved from Allah's displeasure, then grab this ibadah, dhikr of Allah, with consistency. And it's been written in the commentary that then that person will stand on the Day of Judgment, that your dhikr was accepted in the world. You're calling out Subhanaka waqina adhab an-nar. It was accepted in the world. Allah Ta'ala says that in the world I freed you from hellfire in advance. In advance. So this is the result, and this is how elevated is this action. Alhamdulillah, by doing dhikr, by remembering Allah, a person, he is protected from the sins. That's why I stated in the hadith that the greatest deed that will save us the best and greatest from the adab in the grave is the dhikr of Allah. Right? Because the dhakir who remembers Allah, his lifestyle is this. That dhikr gives this result. The net effect of dhikr, the net effect of dhikr is it saves a person from sin and takes the person towards Allah's obedience. People say that, oh, I'm not pure, I'm not clean, I'm not to wali of Allah, that I have to do dhikr. Dhikr is for the sinful people. We are sick, we commit the sins, we are in the darkness, it's hard to be saved, we live in the dunya, we have to work in the dunya, our life is in the dunya. So Allah has given us a beautiful tool that start doing dhikr, and dhikr of Allah, my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, will do its work in parallel and wash you away from the impurities and take you away from sin and give you recognition and awareness, and you'll be aware of what's happening around you. You'll start leaving the sins. And the person who's passing through this phase, alhamdulillah, congratulations to that person, and solid congratulations that you are the person for whom on the Day of Judgment the announcement will be made, and those people will stand who saved themselves from sins with the grace of Allah. So how Allah Ta'ala has elevated his dhikr, his remembrance, and the dhakirin. This is not a little thing. This is not a little thing. On the Day of Hashr, those dhakirin will be called by name, stand up people, and the whole of mankind will see them. You think this is a little reward? And in the hadith it stated that Allah Ta'ala will give them a special status. Special status because they made effort in the world. Those people who wasted time and used to do banditry actions and gangsters and commit sins, and they ran towards sins and they was afraid of Allah's dhikr, or used to run away from dhikr of Allah. But then there were those people who said, Allah, save me from these sins. Save me from these bad actions and waste time. So especially the dhakirin, be careful, be careful. That always while you're doing dhikr, keep a close eye on yourself. Don't do any sin. Don't go towards the sin. Allah, I want to be saved from the sin somehow. Save me, save me. Then even the so-called small sins will look like mountains and peaks. Don't say, oh, small sin. No. Allah's displeasure equals punishment. And I'm going to save myself from this, and that's when I'm going to be successful. And that's why I'm taking this medicine. If this medicine's not working on me, Allahu Akbar, then there's a big loss in my actions. What? What is that person doing? What is he lacking? So we need to then analyze, because we are in a dangerous situation then. So we're taking the medicine, we're doing dhikr, and even then I'm not saving myself from sin. Is there not a blot or some hole in my iman? Some weakness, something's leaking from the tank, that I'm doing such a great action, and despite that I'm still doing sin? I'm still haven't got the fear of Allah in my heart? Still I'm doing the bad actions and I'm doing them. So most certainly, most definitely then that person's in a dangerous situation. He has to do dua in abundance. Allah, that the effect of dhikr, Allah, please bring it onto my life, into my body, that I can feel that I'm doing your dhikr, I'm remembering you, and I don't think about sins. My hands and my eyes and my body don't go towards sin. Extremely, extremely, always we have to try and make effort. The people of Iman, men and women, sisters and brothers, from morning till evening, morning till night, analyze yourself, weigh yourself, and look at yourself, that please make me not go towards sin. Don't think, oh, I'm fine, I'm forgiven, I did these actions today, I'd worship like this, X, Y, Z. No. Every second, just like you're walking along the garden and there's a bed of nettles and thorns and you're aware and cautious that I don't want the thorns to prick my heel or my feet. Same way, every second of the day, Muslims should think, Allah, I don't want to go towards the sin. May I not do this sin? Let me get away from this sin. Otherwise, I'm going to go into a Jahannam hellfire. So when this feeling is strong, consistently in your body and mind and heart, then this is the result of dhikr. So you have to think that, has a revolution come in my life? Has an improvement come in my life? Has a change come in my life? Am I a better human being? If not, then it's a very dangerous situation. Then I have to do more dua. That after doing dhikr, I have to say, Allah, please allow the effects of this dhikr to come into my life and save me from sin, Allah. And when a person does this, Allah gives that high, high pedestal. That when this position comes, you do dhikr, you leave the sins, you remember Allah, then on the Day of Qiyamah, Allah's announcement will come, 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 stand up, O dhakirin, stand. And they will be told to stand, and they will stand. And then Allah will say that this wasn't something small you were doing. It's obvious that how great is your maqam now. How great is your status now amongst all the people that you did so much effort in the world, you left their sins and you followed my path, my prescription. Then what will happen that day? In the hadith it is stated these words, that you read this as well and you hear this as well. Allahu Akbar, then what will happen is Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment, on the plain of Hashr, will prepare a standard, like a flag, a standard. From Allah, the standard will be created, the flag will be erected, it will be manufactured, it will be shown and displayed, and all the people on the day of judgment will be looking. Allah Ta'ala will prepare that flag and that standard. And after preparing it, subhanAllah, what will be the greatness of that flag, of that standard? And what will it be, that sign? We can understand it. Then Allah Ta'ala will say to that jamaat, to those people, قَالَ لَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will then announce further that, O people, O my dhakireen, who used to remember me in the world and leave the sins, what should you do now? Now take protection under the shade of this standard, this flag, the sign, the banner. And this mention of this banner, of this sign, of this flag, this is an extremely important point. This is a massive reward, because that sign, that banner, is the sign of greatness. And that will be the sign on the Day of Judgment for high quality, great people on a high rank. You see this, don't you? That when a person, he wants to elevate his country, what does he do? He raises his flag, the flag of the country, on a high position. For example, if you win something, football, what happens? The flag is raised first, isn't it? That I'm from this country, this is my sign, look at the greatness of our country. So Allah Ta'ala says, oh, greatness and high rank will be under that standard and that banner. So Allah Ta'ala says that, come here. So for example, when you win something, or you're on high, oh, this is Pakistan flag, or this is this country's flag. So that country will then become famous and known and popular on that day. The more greater country is, or stronger, the more aware is that flag, sign and colors, etc., in the world. So now imagine here, that on the day of judgment, that how people we stood there with such amal, such deeds, such personalities, great people. And within them, Allah Ta'ala will say that the greatest quality within them will be the dhakireen. The dhakireen. This is hadith. The hadith. Nobody else will be given this title. And how great will those people be recognized greatly on the day of judgment, that due to dhikr, they did dhikr in the world, and due to dhikr, they left the sins. Waqina adhab an-nar is with subhanak. Not that you're doing sins and dhikr. No, this doesn't come in that group of people then. So those successful people are those people who remembered Allah and left the sins. So what a great, great high pedestal, high position. Otherwise people at that time will be going into hellfire, bad situation. And these people, the dhakireen, will be on the banks of Jannah, and Allah will be elevating them in front of the whole of mankind on the day of judgment. Come, O dhakireen, come under this banner, this sign, this flag. Then Allah will erect that flag and show the whole of mankind that these are my people, Allah will say. Why? First, they did that action which was most beloved to me, Allah Ta'ala will announce on the day of judgment. This is obvious. This is obvious. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala will say that they read the Quran correctly, they read the hadith correctly, and they recognized me correctly. Allah Ta'ala said that I mentioned in so many verses in the Quran, I love this action, it's beloved to me. Dhikr, do dhikr in the sabah and in the evening in layl, in the morning and the night. We used to leave those verses, we bypass those verses, we don't pay attention. Dhikr is okay, no time, not important. But these people understood that this is the most beloved action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we leave this action? Remembering Allah. So they reduced all other actions in the world. They reduced their desires, children, maal, money, whatever came in their way, obstacles, they left those obstacles. They overcame those obstacles, those hurdles. So Allah Ta'ala wa talhakum tijaratun wa awladun bi dhikrillah. Not money, wealth, everything they reduced or they sacrificed for what? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. They did not leave. They didn't leave Allah's remembrance. No, they gave priority to dhikr. They worked, they had a business, dhikr priority. They worked, priorities, business, priorities, dhikr. Because the genuine success will come through what? The dhikr of Allah. Money, business, employment, wealth, transactions will not give eternal, lasting reward. So remember, a person always likes that thing which gives the greatest wealth, greatest reward. So if we say, oh, this is nafil, it's not important, we don't have to remember Allah, it's nafil, it's not imperative. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that this is the beloved action in the eyes of your Lord. So Allah has defined this like that. Allah says, fine, you carry on shunning it, leave it. But those people who leave Allah, they will grab this action because it's beloved to Allah. So how can we leave this action? So here we realize another point that Allah Ta'ala loved these people also. When somebody loves somebody else, then He gives that person something he likes and that person embraces it with both arms. So we should remember this point that we need to sacrifice our desires in this world. We have to make effort, strive. No, I just want to relax and I want to get all of the rewards in the after. No, Allah says for my dhikr, you'll have to sacrifice your mal, your family time and your other priorities in life, your tijarat, your business, your occupancy, etc. And in these things, in tijara, in mal and wealth, counting money, children, family, these are the things that take us towards sin. They make us do sin. They make us eat haram. They make us earn haram. They destroy us. Imagine this. That due to these unlawful, due to these things in the world, tijarat, mal, our akhirah is being spoiled. So that's why Allah Ta'ala mixes the word of dhikr here. That when they do dhikr, Allah says, then they make a big sacrifice. That they reduce the other factors of life and they don't commit the sin. Every step, they look at the action, they analyze and say, oh, this is a sin. We reduce this, shun this, put it to the side in the parking bay. That Allah, in your love, in your path, we will not go towards haram. We won't earn haram, we won't eat haram. So here they sacrifice their desires. And this is the true dhakir, the true dhakir. The true love of Allah. So is this a case? Oh, after doing a few tasbihs and you'll get a high maqam. Allah says, I will erect a flag, a standard, a banner from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that flag and that banner will be stood up. Everyone will see it. And the whole of mankind of the Day of Judgment will see that. Who are these people standing here? Oh, it's such a high status. Subhanallah, that we should do dua that Allah give us the decision that we can go into paradise and we save ourselves from Jahannam. Even if this happens, that at least that Allah ta'ala degrades us a little bit, we get the lowest level of paradise. Even that's greatest for us, that at least we are saved from Jahannam. People will be dying for that day. But here Allah says, I will elevate those people. So the people on the Day of Judgment will be so desperate, they'll say, Allah, even good enough for us is even if we're in the lowest level of Jannah. But the dhakirin, they will be made to stand beneath this flag, under the shade of this banner. And it's not that they stood underneath the country's flag. This is not the country of the world flag. Allah gives an example. It will be such a banner flag that the people standing there will be under the life of sukoon. All of the peace and the comforts and the luxuries of this world put together will be there, stood under there. And that day will be for how long? For thousands of years will be the Day of Judgment. People be stood sweating in the drowning in the sweat, and Allah will give shade under this banner, feasts and foods and ease and comfort and cool temperature that they left haram in the dunya, and Allah will give them thousands of years stood under that flag and that standards. So that dhakir, he should do dhikr in this world and don't consume haram. Don't do dhikr and go towards haram. A person who does dhikr and goes towards haram is destroying himself. That, for example, a person says, oh, you gave me milk, you gave somebody milk to drink, and you contaminated the milk at the same time. What's the point of giving the pure milk? You gave pure milk and you contaminated or you diluted it. So you're doing dhikr of Allah and you're doing haram at the same time. You're doing dhikr of Allah and you don't even feel shame about sinning. Your hairs don't even sound like, it's okay, what can I do? Why is everyone else doing this and you're doing this at the same time? Why do you take the dalil for sins? Oh, he did this, why can't I do it? You're giving dalil. Those people won't be stood under that flag on the Day of Judgment. How many years of life you got? Today's day is gone. So one day more has gone from our life. That's it. Our life is one day shorter. We are going with speed towards death and thereafter. But we should wake up. Why are we displeasing Allah? What will we give for those people who we are earning haram? We're giving them haram to eat. We're doing fraud and lying and cheating, deception. I tell you, they won't even read Fatiha for you after you die at your grave. I write this down now. Why? Because have you ever remembered your grandfather? Your grandmother today? How many times have you read Surah Yasin for you? How many times have you sent the reward to your father? How many people are sitting here who have worried for their father in the grave? You worry about your son, but the person who read you, grew you up, what about the fikr for that person? How many times have you read Quran and give the thawab to them? Have you ever, while you're sleeping in the night, have you ever done maraqabah that my father, he's in the grave, what's happening to him in the grave right now? Have you ever thought about your father or your mother who passed away? So who will remember you tomorrow? Nobody. And after sinning for the people of the world and you die, maybe you will die and pass away and you did everything for these people who you leave them in the world, but they won't even remember you. The person who dies as a disobedient person, Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter if you're half his kids, children or alims and scholars, and you die and you are disobedient and you died, then you have shut those doors on your face and that thawab will not come to you. Their thawab will not come to you. And those people, subhanAllah, who are obedient in this world, and who die as obedient slaves of Allah, who did good deeds and left sin, and shunned the sin, and they depart from the world, even if their children are sinners in the world, then subhanAllah, after that person dies, even then Allah prepares in the grave, that Allah Ta'ala says that the subhanAllah, the reward will still come into the grave. And there are other people who will do deeds for you and go in the graves of the wali of Allah. The thousands of people are still coming there reading Quran who are not even the children of that wali. And they remember us. And they read Quran and do good deeds and they send the thawab for that wali of Allah. So those people who have got correct beliefs and practices and they pass away, they get the thawab given to them by the people of the world. After that, many thousands of people attend their grave and say, Allah, this man was wali. He took people towards the deen. He taught them sunnah. He changed the hearts of the people. When people were running around in the wilderness and the darkness, he had pain for them. When people were enjoying themselves and earning money and they put stones on his stomach and persevered through hunger. And it fickle for those people. Will Allah leave these people? Allah says, even if your children are sinners, there's no one in your family, your daughters, your sons, they're not pious, your children have gone astray. But no problem, because even Prophet's children were disobedient. But Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry. If you are pious, obedient, and upright, and from your children, there's no piety, Allah says, don't worry. When you die, I will create such people who will do good deeds after you and give you du'as, that those du'as will come to you in your grave. Tell me, sir, is this a bargain, a cheap bargain? No. But we say, no, my son, I have to work for him hard. I need to earn haram for him. I need to give money for him and assets to him and products to him. I need to fulfill the desires of my children. Yes, they might be haram, but my friends, we will take the fire into our grief. At least correct yourself. If your children ask for too much, say, my son, I've only got £10. My son, I can't give you more than that. I can only give you £10. If you want to live your life properly. Otherwise, my love cannot go beyond this. I can't give you a haram Mercedes and I burn in the fire of hell and you enjoy yourself after my death. I can't give you this, my son. And you're going to go running around your Mercedes whistling to the girls on the road. The more the children do haram after you die, the azab will come. But the thawab won't come. The doors will be shut. Brothers, we have to go through the test after death. But Alhamdulillah, we are still alive today. Let's do tawbah, repent today and make our life correct. Still say today, I've made big mistakes, Allah, I've made big mistakes, Allah, I'm destroyed, I've run after the dunya for my children, for myself, I'll not get nothing for this after. Am I right or am I wrong, brothers? Am I right or am I wrong? Think for a few minutes. Think, this is our hal as an ummah. Who listens to anyone? Who cares for anyone? One brother came to me and said today, it's so good your dhikr, so good. He said, but people, so few people come to the gathering. And I started smiling. I said, look, so few people come. They do come though, don't they? I said, brother, this is the sign of the Day of Judgment. That good things, good deeds, good pious deeds, people run away from them. Today if I say, come, the whole masjid will fill up. If I talk about wealth and dunya, isn't it? The masjid will fill up. When I say, let's do this, which will save us from the azab on the Day of Judgment and the grave, the hadith I'm telling you, is this a low level after hearing this hadith? If there's a mu'min, a believer, a sister, mu'minat, or mu'min who has fikr of the akhirah, I swear by Allah, she will run to this grave and she'll sprint to the dhikr of Allah. Sprint, sweating. Such a great deed I'm getting. Such a great reward. They'll never stop. They'll breathe and pant heavily. My sons, my daughters, for the sake of Allah, let's run to this gathering. We're getting the great reward. They will run. They'll stand. They say, let's go. Let's get ready. How many years, for decades and centuries, they will stand under that banner. And you are the dhakir for your, due to your dhikr. At least Allah will save me, maybe. That Allah Ta'ala will invite me also, maybe due to you doing dhikr. So at least let's leave the sins at the same time. Allah will do your dhikr. We don't want to take the taste. We don't want to watch the dramas. We don't want to do wrong. We don't want to eat haram. We will put halal in our stomach. And what a beautiful taste will come on our tongues, on our taste buds, when we eat halal. And oh, we'll forget all of the hardships. And even if we die hungry due to eating halal, then fine. I'll tell you, we'll get better than ever after. Halal is beautiful taste, brothers. Even if you're hungry, but the taste will be beautiful. SubhanAllah. So thousands of years, Allah will give enjoyment on the Day of Judgment. Allah will say, listen, keep standing. Keep standing. And then we'll say, Allah, we don't even want to move from here. Keep the Day of Judgment. Keep it in existence. We're enjoying coolness. Hunger's gone. We'll be talking to each other, waiting, talking to each other. And the transport will come, taking people into the Jannah. And the people there on the Day of Judgment, they'll be so satisfied. They won't be under any fear. Then Allah will say, Khala. That Allah will say, oh, people, listen to me. Dakhilun, be ready with this banner, under this flag, so the people of Jannah can see you as well. Ittabi'un. Allah will say, aha, with this flag, with this banner, with this sign, be ready, and within this shade, and in the form of a group, of a majlis, I'll take you from here, Allah says, from that plane of Hashar, قَالَ أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah says, forever, forever, you will enter into paradise, and you will not come back. This is the hadith, the meaning of the hadith that I'm telling you. Now, we need to look at our lives. One action Allah Ta'ala has explained there. What is that? One action, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. One action, dhikr Allah. Remember, if we do dhikr, what is the loss for us? Should we do dhikr or not? Tell me. Should we do it or not? Tell me. So brothers, this is the point. That now we have one amal we need to bring into our life. What is that? The dhikr of Allah. Let me tell you another thing now. We are weak, dunya, weakness, sin, everything's around us. Challenges, trials, tribulations. But to do something good, to start a good action, then the dunya teaches us this, isn't it? The world teaches us dunya. That dhikr, I'm telling you hadith, I'm still persevering. Okay, I'll start one day, inshallah. Do dua for me. So many hadith I tell you. Still we make issues that brother say, there are very few people are coming here. What's the reason for this? There's a reason for this. That very common, we understand the point. We understand, but amal is difficult for us, isn't it? Practice. Yeah, we understand, we agree, we accept. Yeah, I'll start, inshallah. Shaitan throws stones and hurls us out. But there's a very simple method. The amal, you can do it, alhamdulillah. You can with ease. And how? How? That I'll give you the rule of this dunya, then you'll understand easily. That you have a son or a daughter. Yeah, you have a child. I'll give you an example so we understand easily. So let's say you're a doctor. There's a doctor. Yeah, there's a doctor. And he has a son or a daughter. He has a daughter. The doctor has a daughter. You'll see the doctor's daughter will become a doctor as well. And many doctors in their families, they have doctors as their offspring, career. There's a production line. There's a person who's a businessman, shopkeeper. His son will say, oh, I don't need to study. I'm going to run the shop. My father. Mostly this happens. Whether he's done a degree, he's got a qualification, he's going to do what his father's left behind. Happens, isn't it? In the world. Okay. So that's a simple rule. Right? Let's say another profession. The son, he will follow mostly the footsteps, guidance. Oh, I like running the shop, the businesses, opening the shop, closing the shop. So he's got qualities different, but he follows the footsteps of the father. So we learn one thing. Very simple rule, isn't it? So what we realize here is that his father was a doctor or a shopkeeper or an accountant or a businessman. So the children follow that career, that profession. His son's the same, his daughter the same. Why? For this reason, that child grew up and saw and heard and had tarbiyah and sohbat company for that profession. So when they got that profession and development and tarbiyah, so those desires and hopes were developed. The son or the daughter saw, oh, my dad's running a shop, he sees it, he's got the experience and the ups and the downs. So very easy to understand. If you want to do dhikr, then start loving the person who is the dhakir. If you are weak in doing dhikr and you realize in this masjid there's a majlis, the zikr is hosted, then go there. When you start sitting with the dhakirin, Allah makes it easy for you. Just like you have the role models, the peers above you who teach you professions and careers in the world. So, قُونُ مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, Allah says in the Quran, when it's hard for you, shaitan interferes with you, Allah says, go. قُونُ مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, sit with the dhakirin. Go and sit and have the company of the dhakirin, the good people, remember Allah, and then that practice will come into your life. Very easy. So if you want to make your children dhakir, bring your children to the majlis of dhikr, like this little kid sitting here, and he'll start doing dhikr. Many people are here, my child is 3 years old, oh, she does dhikr so much. Why? Because you've given her company. And you do dhikr with that child. Otherwise that child, 3, 4 years old, didn't have no awareness, conscious, and her brain has opened up. She started doing the kalamat and recitation because that tarbiyah was on dhikr, Allah's remembrance. So in the same way, if we're weak and we're not doing dhikr, we don't feel like doing it, very easy solution, go and sit in the company of the dhakirin. Because you know this is the destination. You know you're going to become a dhakir, you have to become dhakir, and you want to be a dhakir, then there's the tariqah, the method, that the weaker you are, but if you sit in the company of the dhakirin with such people, you make them your friends, then inshallah you'll become the wali as well. So very simple path, may Allah give me the tawfiq. The conclusion is this, that the best and beautiful and good, according to the Quran and Hadith, what is that action that will give us the best result in the Akhirah? The dhikr of Allah. So the way to do dhikr of Allah is that take the company of the dhakirin and go into the dhikr of Allah. Totally don't be lazy, don't be neglectful. Our whole life we've been lazy, okay, we've been sinners, no problem, we're still alive. Now we're breathing, grab hold of dhikr, but this doesn't mean that leave all the other things alive. No, I'm not saying this. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, leave nafal or recitation of Quran or other tabliq or deen. No, I'm not saying this. You have to keep doing that, your careers and profession, but bring dhikr into your life in parallel. Bring dhikr into it, make it a component. A certain time, sit in the company of the dhakirin, love them, learn from them, inshallah. This is the next topic, that what is the benefit of sohbat, of the company of the sadiqin, what is the meaning of sohbat, what's the effect of sohbat, inshallah, alhamdulillah, if we get an opportunity, we'll speak on that next time. But today, we have to realize that if you want to become a dhakir, then sit with the dhakirin, that's it. If you want to become something else, you say, assalamu alaikum, how are you? And while you meet, and while you're eating his laddus and sweets, you'll become the sweet maker yourself. Yeah? So that's the rule of the dunya. So if you sit with a dhakir, 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 you do dhikr, dhikr, and automatically you'll become a dhakirin yourself. And people will say, ah, he's a dhakir. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.